Hey, God, is there a problem with me? Hey, God, am I the one that's monkeying this up? What about us? I've been to a couple of annual conferences. I wonder if that ever happened.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friska. This message was recorded on October 16th, 2024, and is titled Passover Reinstated. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
I've been to one pastor's conference where it happened one time a long time ago. And I told him about early church. I was a guest speaker. They was all up around Tulsa. Oral Roberts. And some big swingers in the room. About 30 head of them. And it was my turn to talk. And I told them about early church. I said, how many of y'all have early church? And how many of y'all have late church? How many of y'all have traditional church and contemporary church? And I said, let me tell you about early church. We do it at 7:30 in the morning at Sail Barn. And we tell people who don't know about Jesus, we tell them about Jesus. And we pray with them. And then we eat with them and stay with them the entire day. Sometimes we stay for the entire weekend. John, you've been there for some of it. We'll stay the entire weekend. And we see people actually have to be carried down to an auction ring because they can't walk to make some kind of step towards Jesus and give their life to Jesus. And I told them a lot of other stuff, and I said, that's early church. I said, that was the early church. What y'all been doing? 30 head of them laid on the floor for the next 3 hours. So I know there is repentance in the body of Christ. There's just some things we're unwilling to unhook from. How many of y'all got skid marks leading up to that baptism because you'd already been wet once? I could go down a whole list of things. I see you nodding your head. Yeah. Unfinished business because your religion told you not to. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Getting some business finished. Israel had a lot of trouble, and they'd been up and down and up and down. And here's what I really love, the first part about this story. Remember me talking about last week, or maybe it wasn't here. I don't know. I've spoke a lot here lately. I can't remember where I was all the time. But I said, you know, back when I was first born again, and I said, maybe I've been doing this so long that I've just got used to it, or I don't know, but sometimes I think man's kind of got to work at it to stay fresh a little bit. Not get too complacent about things. Maybe that's why Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. You know, by the time he is 26, he had done some big boy stuff. Nowadays, we still got him living in the basement. You don't really become a man until you're about 30 or something nowadays. He's 8 years old and he's king. He became the king and he reigned for 31 years. So that made him almost 40. Tells about his mother. I'm going to kind of skip down verse 2. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He walked in all the ways of his father David. David was one of the kings that went before him. He's in the lineage. All of us are in the lineage of David through Jesus Christ. Oh, we're in chapter 22. I'm sorry. 2 Kings 22. I'm sorry. No wonder y'all look at me like a calf under a gate. Come on, people, keep up. What's the matter with y'all?
Leonard, I guess we're going to have to start putting scripture on the screen now. And he did not turn aside to the right hand or the left. It's the very thing God told Joshua when he attained the promised land. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Meditate on this law. Do what it says and you'll prosper in this land. David's gone before him. You do realize that we've had a lot of people go before us. You do realize that there's people a long time ago that just simply wanted to write this book in a way that you could read it in English. And the so-called church burned them at the stake. Did you know that? That people died so you could read this book in English? Yet we don't read it. I've been in churches where the brand new Bibles are right next to the used hymnals. You cannot honor, man. We talked about this yesterday morning Bible study. You cannot honor a man who's gone before you by celebrating a day. Even if he's the Son of God. It's by holding on to his vision, his purpose, what he set in motion, what he died for, like the Hall of Fame of Faithful in Hebrews 11, that they didn't even see what they were doing this for. But to hold on to that and to carry that on and to honor that. Most kids nowadays don't know two things about George Washington. My gosh, why wouldn't we? A guy who sought the providence of God at every turn, every battle, everything he did. A guy like Abraham Lincoln, who at the most tumultuous time in this country where it was divided in two, where a relative would actually kill another relative. And he sought the Lord, and he sought for days of prayer, fasting, and humiliation. This little kid wanted to follow right in David's footsteps. He wanted to do right. He looked to a man who God said himself was a man after God's own heart. So they go and they rediscover the temple and they find the money and they're looking around. And then down in verse 8, Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of law in the house of the Lord." I got to stand up for this one. You are not in the house of the Lord. You are in a tin barn. The Bible says God does not dwell in buildings built by human hands. Humans built this building. Humans danced in here. Humans drank in here. Humans cussed in here. I think some humans even held hands in here. I think there's some things that went on before we got here. Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? That you, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. A holy nation, a royal people, a people belonging to God. It's in 1 Peter chapter 2, if you want to look at it. He found the word of the Lord in the temple of God. There's a reason that on the exact same time in the universe, on the same exact time of the constellations, that Moses brought the law down from Mount Sinai, and on that exact same time the Holy Spirit brought Mount Zion. You see, that's why Easter's a farce. 3 days after equinox does not count. 14th day of the first month plus 50 takes you to Shavuot, takes you to Pentecost. That time when Mount Sinai was revealed to all mankind. Nobody but a handful of people, as Jesus made his appearance over 500 times in 40 days before his ascension, nobody actually realized until he ascended. Why? Because he ascended to fill the universe. The revealing happened at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's when it came to indwell in us. That's when we became the temple. That's when the church was born. That's when the law came from heaven and took up residence in me. Now all I have to do is align my flesh with the perfection that's in me, and I do it by renewing my mind with the Word of God. Has God found the Word of the Lord in the temple of God, or has he just found some empty tents sitting in the pew calling it church and calling it the house of the Lord? When it's not the house of the Lord, it's the house of ill repute. That came from God. That didn't come from me. He's tired. He's tired of our harlot ways. He's tired. I don't know who's going to hear this tonight, but I know there ain't five guys on the planet got guts enough to tell it. And I hope you're emboldened when I get done tonight. I hope somebody tells somebody. You cannot call on a God to assist you in this endeavor if he's sick of what you've been doing. He will sit still. He'll bless your coming in, going out, kneading troughs, vats, your herds, your flocks, and the fruit of your womb, but he'll curse the same. He said he found the law of the house in the house of the Lord, and Hezekiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it, and so the scribe went to the king and saying, Your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it to the hand of those who do the work, who oversee the house of the Lord. And then down to verse 11, it said, now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he tore his clothes. That's humiliation. He heard the word of the Lord, and he tore his clothes. Who's the first one in your mind that tore his clothes that you can remember that a prophet finally got to him? Anybody remember the story of Jonah? The king of Nineveh? And after Jonah finally said, okay, it was the people first. If you go read the text, the people began to repent. And when the king heard, he tore his clothes and he went and sat in sackcloth and ashes. And he called for fasting and prayer in hopes that God would relent. You know, I had a guy call me one time. He was dumb enough to tell me God repented. I said, you're an idiot. He ain't never done nothing wrong. No, it says so in the Bible, he repented. No, Slim, he relented. That means when people as dumb as you repent, he'll relent from the coming wrath. He relented. He changed his mind. How many of us in America today think maybe we need God to change his mind? How many of y'all think we might get what we've asked for, what we deserve? So he says, then he gets all shook up, and he goes, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book and to do according to all that is written concerning us. And then verse 16, he says, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. It's not a good story here in 2 Kings. Josiah is doing all the right stuff, and God's not going to relent. Well, preacher, you're not doing very good tonight. We need some good news in here. I got some. But as for the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord in this manner, you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and you wept before me. I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see the calamity which I will bring on this place. So they brought back word to the king. Now the king sent them together, and all the elders. Well, let's see. Let's skip on over here so we can hurry. But he's over here in verse 4, 23. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, the priests of the second order, and the doorkeepers to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal. Listen to this now. This is about religion. This isn't a Sodom and Gomorrah story. This is dealing with our religion. All the articles that were made for Baal. Who'd that temple belong to? Belonged to a bunch of pagans? Belonged to Israelites at one time, didn't it? Isn't that where the high priest hung out and did their thing? Isn't that where they read the Torah? Isn't that where they did the law and all the stuff? So it was God's people. This is God's people he's talking to here. We're not talking to the rest of the world. We're not talking to a bunch of LGBTQ non-believers. We're not talking to Muslims today. You'll receive your own judgment at the proper time. The Bible says judgment comes to the house of the Lord first. You know why? Because you and I are responsible for how this goes. I don't know what day we started running church by committee. We don't have one around here. We pray together and talk together, but if the Lord tells us to do something, we're going to do it. And we just do it. I don't have a governing body that tells me to tone it down a little bit. Now, I do have friends that I meet with all the time that might tell me if I'm getting a little off in the ditch. Now, I'll get back up on the road. But run by a committee where everything, you know, will go a certain way, and we won't rock the boat. And pretty soon we've got objects of Baal. You know, out of Constantine came Catholicism, and out of Catholicism came Protestantism. I think the Baptists escaped all that, and they've found some junk of their own. It's like I told some guys the other day that had been working some other horse sales where they always have stellar performance, and some of my guys was over there, and I said, look, I don't care where you work, but be sure and wipe your shoes before you get to my house. I'm the same way in here about denominations. I don't care where you hang out. I don't care if you double dip, triple dip. I don't care what you do. Wipe your shoes before you get here. If you'll sit here long enough and you still keep putting up with that, it's either because you don't listen to me or you just refuse to tear down an asher pole. That's it. That's it. I mean, I don't care how you do it, and I'm not going to beat you up, and I'll always be your friend. But the truth of the matter is, you'll go down with the Titanic because you didn't want to address the subject. He says right here, so then, Asherah, and for Asherah, and for all the host of heaven, he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried their ashes to Bethel. I mean, y'all remember Bethel's where Jacob encountered the Lord and called it Bethel. I'll just leave that alone tonight. And he brought out, in verse 6, he brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord to the brook of Kidron outside Jerusalem, burned it at the brook, and ground it into ashes and threw the ashes on the graves of the common people. Then he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons that were in the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the wooden image. Now, I don't know if you want to admit it or not, we got some of that junk going on. A lot of stuff. I asked a guy one time from another tribe, and this is how what idols look like. I told you this is just a barn. It's not going to be everlasting. It'll one of these days something will happen and be gone. But for some reason, you can listen to Western swing in your pickup, but you can't play a guitar in the sanctuary. Because we're a New Testament church. Now, if you think I'm going to tiptoe around your tribe tonight, you're wrong. No tiptoe tonight. I'm going to preach like this is my last message. Where would you come up with such an idea? You didn't read it in here. Somebody told you. And look, I've tried them all on for size, and they've tried me on for size, and that's it's not a problem. So don't worry about me. It's not a problem. But I'm just saying they tore all that down, got rid of it. Don't tell me the rules of the sanctuary when you wouldn't recognize the Holy Ghost if he kicked you in the shins. And goes on and says, defiled the high places, defiled the high places. I wonder who'd like to take a role at the Vatican. Because all over America, news media out of New York City, they all call it the church. They all call it the church. They all call it the church. While you got your golden cup behind a golden door with a golden key, and you got little crackers made by Keebler, but you told them it was the body of Christ. You got to get it in the napkin. Come on, you got your house is full of idols. You're a house of ill repute. You got guys hiding behind the phone booth that told you your sins are forgiven when the high priest in heaven would forgive your sins, and then it'd be unequivocally done. You'd never have to do it again. You'd know by the blood of Jesus and the sprinkling of the blood. You'd understand it in the Passover, but no, we're not going to do Passover. We're going to live like hell 6 days a week and then hang out in the phone booth with a guy we barely know, and he's going to forgive our sins because we called him Father. But the Word says you can't call anybody Father, because you have a Father in heaven, and the only way to get to him is through Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, we're full of abominations. And if anybody thinks I'm wrong, I'll be in Fort Worth all weekend. It's pretty close to the DFW airport. Tell Francis to get on an airplane and meet me at the Will Rogers Coliseum, and we'll talk about it. That'd be great. Tore down the high places where the priest had burned incense. He broke down the high place and the gates at the entrance, the gates of Joshua, the governor of the city. Nevertheless, the priest, verse 9, nevertheless, the priest of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem. They just stayed back and ate unleavened bread by themselves. I can't even remember how many years ago. When did we take communion on the courthouse? 5 years ago at Passover. See, we've been doing this now for a long time. I could sit here for days and give testimony just about Passover in my life. I didn't know then when 250 people drove from all over the United States to take communion on Bailey County steps at Passover, that we would become ground zero for this. And then go out over the airwaves to everybody else, no self-interest, having nibblos, nobody getting paid, nobody got a certain agenda other than saving the church and saving America. That's it. Every pastor in this town was invited to come. They chose to have a Palm Sunday service.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.